big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hello, millions of fans.
And readers,
especially VIP readers.
Welcome to the new issue.
Welcome to a very special edition of the, in very sort of plain type, W. Mick Wall podcast, in ornate letters, starring Hollywood's own Johnny James Ratten.
You see, you were telling me that is a t-shirt idea from a reader.
It is.
And I think it's a brilliant idea.
Do you?
You'll be amazed to know. Whoever thought of that, give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah.
Because that's merchandising genius.
That is.
I'm even willing to cut you in to a small degree.
Well, hang on.
Send your details in on the back of a postcard.
Yeah, I'll give you John's email address later.
Yeah.
So, John, sorry, I was just gulping tea there. We've got a packed show.
We've got
far too much to talk about, but we're going to lead with...
on the big story that I uncovered.
Well, give us a burst, John. Give us a burst.
Well, no, let's say, because in the last issue...
Oh, yeah.
We need to qualify this by saying we spoke about the sad demise of Mr. Chris Overland.
Chris Overland.
Guitarist in...
FM.
FM, as you know.
Not AM, FM.
You're a big fan of FM.
Absolutely. Hey, look,
brother of Steve...
I'm punching my chest.
Brother of Steve Overland.
Yeah.
Singer in FM.
Yeah.
I'm making gestures like you don't know who it is.
I know who that is. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
What's your favourite FM track?
Well, my favourite FM track is probably Every Time I Think of You.
Oh,
it's been, Move a Little Closer.
Yeah.
Marvellous. It really is. AOR masterpiece from the Tough It Out album.
Oh, yeah. And you
going
know what
all
my
the
favorite
way back to about 1987. What is it, Meg?
Track 3.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, it would be. Yeah.
Well, hey, that's everybody's favourite, isn't it?
Yeah.
So listen, you hold the
phone. So anyway, so we discussed Chris Overland.
We did.
And I went home and, it was on my mind. It really
It wouldn't let you rest.
No, so I was Googling around because I think you'd said something idiotic and I thought, I'm going to disprove this.
Me?
You, yeah.
Idiotic?
And I stumble on this, hang on, because... I find, and then I remembered as the Google machine threw it up, Chris Overland, Steve Overland, the brothers Overland, were in a band before FM that was called Wildlife.
Right.
Which in my head is always called Wildfire, but it's not, it's Wildlife. They're called Wildlife.
Yes.
And they were in it with Phil Suzanne.
Isn't it Susan?
Well, I don't know.
Suzanne.
Phil Suzanne. That's how I say it. Phil Suzanne.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
how
sure
do you
you're
say it?
Not right. Yeah. Sorry, what?
You're the...
Well, as Phil used to say to me...
You're the rock authority.
As Phil used to say to me, don't call me Suzanne. Call me Susan.
Susan.
I said, how about Soupson?
Yeah.
Phil Soupson.
But I always thought he was an Americano.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, but no, but he's obviously not. Evidently not.
No.
But anyway, from the ashes of the wildfire.
Wildlife.
See, I've done it again.
Wow.
I do think they're called Wildfire, but they're not. They're called Wildlife.
Yes.
Phil Suzanne, Soupson, whatever his name
Soupson.
Is. The American bloke.
American French chef.
Yeah. He... then finds himself somehow, who knows, replacing the bomber Bob Daisley in Blizzard of Oz, or whatever Ozzy then called
them. I think
them.
By then
they just
got
called
rid of Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne, just that. They're making an album. Ozzy's lost Randy Rhodes, obviously, for obvious reasons, in the old plane crash. He's then burned through, was it Brad Gillis who came in initially?
Temporarily. Yeah. Plus also Bernie Torme.
Yeah, Bernie Torme had done it. And he settles on a new guitarist, Mr. Jake E. Lee. I think that's how you pronounce it, isn't it?
Jake E. Lee?
Yeah.
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 Jake E. Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not Soup Song. No. Or Suzanne.
So all of a sudden he's got this glittery new band. He's got Phil Soussaint and he's got Jake E. Lee.
And on drums.
Was it Tommy Average?
No.
Who was it?
Randy Castillo?
Oh, maybe it was Randy Castillo. Yeah. Castillo.
Because after Randy Rhodes died, they did Bark at the Moon. That was the first time with Jake E. Lee. But that was
Jake E. Lee on Bark at the Moon?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
Was he? Was Phil Soussaint?
Bark at the Moon. How'd it go?
Was Phil Soussaint on Bark
at the Moon? No. That was still Tommy Average, Uncle Bob Daisley.
Oh, Bob was still in there at that time, yeah.
Yeah. And Jake E. Lee on guitar.
And as we know from the days of Crank, Bomber Bob was forever falling. Every time an Aussie album came out, Bomber Bob realised he wasn't getting his due, as they say.
Yeah, I know. Hard to believe.
Hard to believe that he wrote all the songs, allegedly, and then Aussie had a writing credit. Who knows how?
Well, he provides the melody.
He does, yeah.
See, that's the thing.
He does.
Hey, Bob, I'll provide the melodies. You write the fucking words.
Yeah.
So,
there you go. So it's a fair exchange.
Absolutely.
Bob Daisley gets it. He goes, I'm going to bark at the moon or whatever it goes because it's that time of the month, third, I bark at the moon or however. But Bob's not got the tune in his head. Ozzy's the one who goes, gets hold of the bark at the moon.
Bark at the moon!
Yeah.
See, melody. Bang. Right there. The king.
Written
melody.
By Ozzy Osbourne, stroke Bob Daisley. Probably stroke Jakey Lee, because Jakey's got to come up with the solo.
Well, actually, Bark at the Moon, the album, I've mentioned this before.
On the
back it says, written, performed, and produced by Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, he produced it as well.
Ozzy showed me the CD. What do you fucking reckon of that? I couldn't produce a fart. He goes, that's all Sharon. It's all Sharon. We know.
Yeah, we kind of guessed that.
Next album is The Ultimate Sin.
That's right, yes. And as I was saying to you, I went out and bought that.
Did you?
I was just a young pup. I was very excited that it was this new record bars he was coming out, because he had a most fantastic lead-off single
it
that
did.
I think I'd seen on the telly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which was A Shot in the Dark.
A Shot in the Dark.
Which I checked before I was doing our deep dive research session.
Yeah.
I checked on a thing called Wikipedia, so
yeah,
I don't know what that is.
I usually look in the Encyclopedia of Heavy Metal by Mr. Derek Oliver.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember when that came out about 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's still relevant.
It wasn't relevant then, mate. I don't know about now. It's still waiting for relevance, I think. Relevance has yet to be bestowed.
Well, that's where I look anyway.
Yes, of course. Did you go to a shelf and blow the cobwebs
off?
Yeah,
it's exactly like that.
Select volume.
Yeah, there it is. Bring it down. AC/DC, Aerosmith.
Accept
or even they're before AC/DC Accept alphabetically.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. This is
Amondul.
On the album.
Do you remember them?
On the album, it says written by Phil Soupçon and Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, The Shot in the Dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And I thought, great single. And I saw Jakey Lee was on TV doing, you know, and he looked cool
he
then,
did.
Jake.
He was,
you know,
fantastic.
Really,
he was
really
great
good
on stage,
guitarist.
I tell you.
Really good on stage. Great solo he played. Ozzy, he was in the sort of
the full
back comb, wasn't it? The full mid-80s.
As he put it to me at the time, I look like a fucking fat Joan Collins. Which he did, bless
he
him.
He did a bit, yeah.
Because that album was made just after Sabbath had done Live Aid in the summer of 85.
Yeah.
And I was there, and they were looking. I was sitting with him when they were watching it, you know, the repeats later on the telly, and he goes, fucking hell, I look like a fat Joan Collins. And nobody argued.
Nobody said, oh, no.
No. Yes, so I'm going to play you something. For those of you, most people remember A Shot in the Dark.
It's just a shot in the dark.
One step away from you.
Just a shot.
I think harmonies are meant to be at the same
time.
Yeah,
but that's because you're out of time. You're Lars Ulrich.
No,
Lars is at the door.
Hey, no, Lars is... Is that you again, Lars?
Yeah, that's just him walking up the footpath.
He's your favourite drummer.
Yeah.
So we all remember A Shot in the Dark. Now, see if this demo from 1983 should...
1983, you say?
That's what it says.
1983, yeah. Which is well before.
3 years before.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Hit it, Mick.
Oh, no.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, no, hang on, I pressed the wrong button, hang on. Try Wildfire. Oh, no, here we go. That was Tommy Vance, he said Wildfire.
Oh, there we
go. Oh, hang on.
That's it,
hang on.
Let it go.
Oh, I thought you were telling me to stop.
Shut up, you foolish man.
Oh, you want me
man.
To shut up. Sounds like Ozzy. Slow though.
Yeah, needs stars to speed it up. Oh, it's good though, isn't it? It's good. For a demo, it sounds bloody good. Shot in the dark. Ooh.
What?
Ooh, different lyrics. Different, yeah.
See,
chasing the night away.
Well, in 1983...
That's what I was saying.
Chasing the night away was a perfectly acceptable lyric that hadn't been heard a million times. But by 86, unfortunately, due to
the onset of... Dementia.
Coverdale, Bon Jovi, and every other generic rock artist you could... Not Coverdale, no, but you know what I mean. That generic...
I do know what you mean. Yeah. I know exactly what you mean, Mick. I'm with you. I'm with you on this one.
Chasing the night away. That's like crying in the rain. Yeah. They got rid of that.
Got rid of all that stuff. So let's cut back to last week, and I'm doing my deep dive to disprove whatever stupid thing it is you said.
No, I very rarely say anything stupid.
And I go, oh, wildlife, wildfire, whatever they're called. Go on to the old YouTube. Someone says, oh, they've got some music on there that you can listen to. You know, what were they like? Okay, but there are, as you would have heard on there, Mr. Steve Overland.
Oh, yes.
On the vocals there. I was thinking he's a fantastic singer, but he's got a very slight touch of Bruce Forsyth in his voice.
What?
He kind of goes, oh, whoa. You know Bruce used to go, you know Bruce Forsyth used to go, oh, well, yeah, good game. He's got, if you listen to him a lot, he's got a tiny, tiny bit of that in his voice. But anyway, he's a tremendous singer.
Hang on. You're saying Steve Overland?
Yeah, sounds a bit like Bruce Forsyth on occasion.
To see you not...
Yeah, you know when he used to go, good game.
Honestly, play it again.
Go on, do it. Yeah.
To see you nice.
Good game.
Give us a twirl.
Just a tiny bit, but he's a fantastic singer. He's a really fantastic singer. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
No, I can't hear it.
I'll unhear it before I've heard it. You will hear it.
I'll
send you some songs where he does
overtly
than he did there. So anyway, Steve Overland, Chris Overland, doing the... Eh, Very well. Slow, good game. Good game, Chris. Good game. As Steve used to say.
Nice to see you.
Nice on the guitar tonight, Mr. Chris Overland. Chris, give us a twirl. That's how he used to go. And then on the bass, Mr. Phil
Soussan.
Right. And what does it say? I sent it to you. I thought immediately. What do I do? I'll send it to the boss man.
Thank you.
I'll send it to Mr. Mick Wall.
Yeah, because the buck
investigative journalist. So what do you think of this, Mick? I'm sure I've heard this song somewhere before, but that could just be me. You know.
And what did
that
I say?
That could just be me. I don't think you replied for a couple of days.
Look I just looked at it 2 minutes.
What does it say underneath the video?
It says Overland's wildlife version of Shot in the Dark that would end up on Ozzy Osbourne's The Ultimate Sin in 1986. Oh, it says there's more, but there isn't. Yeah. So
you dig around a little bit further, as you do on the old internet.
Oh, yeah.
And I found an interview with Steve Overland from about 2015.
Was he interviewed by someone called Dave Ling?
I don't think it was. It was on quite
Were they
obscure...
ever interviewed by anybody other than you or Dave Ling?
No, I don't think I ever interviewed FM, because Dave Ling always interviewed FM. And if Dave didn't do it, Paul Elliott did it. Although we did have a hilarious... Their drummer was Pete Jupp. For some reason, was known as Johnny Jupp. And we had a hilarious evening with him. I mean, he was a really funny bloke, Pete Jupp. Him and Merv Goldsworthy, who was the bass player, they were very funny. I remember having like a hilarious evening with them somewhere once, but it wasn't an interview.
You can produce?
No. Paul Elliott, I think, did to them what you did to Thunder, and he once kicked their drum kit over when he was trying to do backing vocals.
Was it on Shot in the Dark?
No, I don't know what it was on.
I bet it was.
I don't think every. But Steve Overland did this interview where he was asked about Shot in the Dark. And he said, well, obviously the connection was Phil Soussan. Can we decide on a pronunciation for the rest
true
of this?
Pronunciation.
Should we just call him Phil for the rest
Soussan.
Of this? Soussan. Okay, Phil Soussan obviously went to Ozzy, and Ozzy's trying to knock together a record, and it comes up with this fucking... I've got a song, Shot in the Dark, and it appears on the Ozzy album as written by Phil Soussan and Ozzy Osbourne. And you might need to check this for me now, because I would, heaven forbid, want to libel anyone. But I don't believe the Overlands have a writing credit on the Ozzy album, on the Ozzy version of it.
Do you know, now, I'm not even sure if Phil Soussan had one.
I think he does.
He does now.
Yeah. Oh, right, originally, I don't know.
Oh, who knows? Maybe he did.
I mean, you could just check on the internet.
No.
To establish whether... But Steve was asked, because obviously, I mean, it was a huge hit. I think it was Ozzy's biggest ever single, as far as I know.
Up to that point, certainly.
He's had bigger hits. But up to that point, because he's obviously, this is back in the day of, he was selling millions of albums and was on like MTV a lot, but wasn't necessarily selling millions of singles, because Ozzy fans would buy the album rather than go out and buy the single or what have you.
Yeah.
But Shot in the Dark was a big lead-off single.
It was.
And it did very well in both America and Europe.
Do you know who else was in Wildlife? Simon Kirk of Bad
Company. Oh, that's right, he was. Yes, Simon Kirk, yeah.
On the old drums, yeah.
So that... Play it again, Mick. Play it again.
Play it again, Sam.
On the vocals, Mr. Steve Bruce Overland. It's sort of slinky, isn't it? Slinky and sultry.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, it's sort of slinky. It's not like the Ozzy version, which is a lot more straightforward rock.
And faster.
Yeah, and far, much faster, yeah.
Yeah, more sort of MTV in the...
In the 90s, in 80s, the whatever 80s, it was.
Late
80s. Late 80s, yeah. But mid-80s. But Overland was asked about this, and he said it's been... You'll be astonished to hear it's been a subject of some dispute since 1986.
Surely.
This is in 2015, by the way, which is, you know, what, thinking 40 years later.
Well, just to add to the stew here, going off Wikipedia, which is never wrong. This is interesting. I'll tell you why in a sec. On future re-releases and compilations after 2000, Shot in the Dark wasn't included.
On what? On the album?
They took it off. So let me tell you.
Why the fuck would you buy The Ultimate Sin if it didn't have Shot in the Dark on it?
This is years later. This is the year 2000. This is 15 years later.
Right.
And they're putting out, you know, the inevitable extra tracks or whatever the fuck, except mine. The new, not extra tracks, minus
yeah,
tracks.
Yeah, fewer tracks, yeah.
Minus
get,
the
get
hit.
Get your new issue of The Ultimate Sin, minus the big hit single. Roll up, roll up.
It says here on Wikipedia, which must
always
be
true.
True.
Always true.
Despite the commercial...
The thing about, great thing about Wikipedia is no one can just go on there and edit it.
No. This is like the Bible.
That's why it's fact.
Fact. Yeah. Right, here's a fact. Shot in the Dark was originally... Oh, no, wrong bit. Despite the commercial success of Shot in the Dark, it was notably omitted from various re-releases and further compilations after 2000, widely believed to be the result of the aforementioned authorship issues, along with other legal disputes from Phil Soussan and Bob Daisley.
Yeah, see... So there are many moving parts to this, of which the Overland brothers are probably, you know, not amongst the most complex, shall we, or difficult, shall we say, because Steve's comment was along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing, Ozzy has been great about this. You know, probably had a chat with Ozzy, you know, but it is still... And this is 2015, it's still unresolved. Because clearly, I mean, all joking aside, clearly you cannot listen to that demo and say it's a different song.
No.
It has different lyrics and it's arranged differently, but it's the same song.
Well, it's what they call reworked.
Yeah, well, it is. It's arranged differently. It's got the same title. It has slightly different lyrics. You know, so
this should be where Bob comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so there's definitely a co-authorship there and a rearrangement. I mean, if you're, you know, let's look at it from the other side. You are Steve and Chris Overland working away in your band, which is, you know, mid-level successful, probably getting you a living, but you're not living high on the hog.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one of your songs is recorded by Ozzy. You're not going to object to that. You're not going to say, well, no, I don't want you to record it because, you know... It has other benefits, you know, if your name is on it, you not only get the royalty, but people are thinking, hey, hang on, these guys write great songs.
But their name have wasn't
got,
on it,
yeah,
it?
Have they got... Exactly, yeah. So
in
what
fact,
I'm saying
in fact,
is...
In fact, until you brought all this up, I had no idea that this was a pre-FM song.
I had no memory of it. I thought maybe I kind of slightly remembered it afterwards, but that could just be a false memory syndrome.
And you know you were saying how... Was it Steve Overland said Ozzy had been very good about
yeah.
it? It says here...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Ozzy has always... Oh, fucking hell, I lost it.
Just bear with us, readers.
Well, there's a quote which I can't find because I'm hurrying to find it, but Ozzy says he's always hated that album.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Because, but I don't know why, because that was his biggest hit in America since Sabbath at the time. But without meaning to cast aspersions, interesting to note that Phil Soussan never played on another Ozzy album.
Right, yeah. So
he
obviously,
did the album and the tour and bosh.
So obviously Soussan was the link with this song. I mean, that you can follow that path fairly easily.
Well, he's obviously coming with a cassette.
This is a great song. What about this? Mm. He gets a writing credit on it initially with Ozzy. Mm. The Overlands don't. Simon Kirk doesn't. I don't know if Simon Kirk had a writing credit on the Wildlife version.
It
doesn't say, yeah. And then Bob Daisley, who, as we know, has disputed authorship of lots of Ozzy's material from that era, saying that he wrote it and then was taken off the credits. He is also involved in legal disputes around this album. So, you know, make of that what you will. But it was interesting that Steve said Ozzy's been great about it, because I imagine Ozzy would. I mean, Ozzy would probably give you his last £2 to go down to the bus stop. You know, he's got a generous nature, I'm sure. But we all know that it's probably not Ozzy you need to be dealing with you want to resolve this matter.
No, that's right.
He's, you know, let's state the obvious, he's not a lawyer.
Well, and let's also just point something out that Phil Soussan, who was in the group, in the video too, I believe, fleetingly, and gets a co-writing credit. His dismissal, I can't remember the exact details because it's such a long time ago, but I was close to the camp in those days. And I was told it was basically, he's a troublemaker. You know, he speaks up too much. And I'm thinking, you know what that's about? Because I don't think he gets any other credit on the album. Maybe he does. I don't think so.
Or did he bring any other Steve Overland songs?
Well, I mean, it's the old Colonel Tom Parker attitude, which I don't. I don't find it that problematic. No, Phil's not credited on anything else. You know, Elvis Presley never wrote a song in his life.
No, but it was credited on.
Yes, on every hit he ever had. And he would say, Colonel Tom would say to the people, look, you can have 100% of nothing, or you can have 50% of an Elvis Presley hit.
Yeah, but I think the point is that offer was never made. You know, it was never, well, you can have a, right, you know, you look at the credit of some hits these days, and it's got about 5 writers on it. They've not all sat down at the same time and written the song.
No.
It's the song has gone through a process before it's become a hit for whoever, you know. And this is what happened with Shot in the Dark, is that it began as a, you know, slow, slinky, sultry Wildlife song and ended up as an upbeat Aussie song with different lyrics. Well, obviously,
slightly different.
If you'd been the one who wrote it originally, you're not going to say, that is my version of the song. But equally, you know, you generated the basis of the song and deserve a portion of the royalty for it.
Well,
I would suggest.
I'll put you in touch with Sharon.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she will hear you out.
Well, I'm sure. But, you know, it's in the interests of fairness, you have to say, the writing credit should at least be restored, shouldn't it?
See, that's the trouble with you FM fans. You know, you're like Trump supporters. You know, you can only see MAGA.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you can
right,
only see FM.
Yeah.
For you, FM have always been treated very badly.
Yes.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda, John.
That's very true.
Well, we're going to do it. We're going to do another shoulda, woulda, coulda, weren't we? Well, I forgot.
Oh,
what it is,
because you, as you were mentioning, as I was mentioning, Chris Overland, that now.
Oh yes.
Sadly departed, but excellent guitarist who played on Shot in the Dark and on all of FM's good stuff in the early days. You were talking about Vito Bratta for some reason.
I was indeed. Now, who remembers who Vito what's his fucking name? Vito Bratta. Who remembers?
Who remembers that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, sexy guy.
At the time.
I can't remember him.
Well, you know, White Lion.
I do
he
know
was
White
the
Lion.
Guitarist in White Lion.
Yeah.
And everybody always used to critique White Lion in their peak years by saying Mike Tramp, the vocalist, was like a lightweight David Lee Roth. And Vito...
Yeah, but Mike Tramp was a kind of good-looking guy, wasn't he?
So was David Lee Roth.
Yeah, so was David... Yeah, I'm not saying he wasn't.
But, you know, the blonde hair. I mean, if you look at those videos, was it Tell Me? Was that their hit? Mike Tramp is literally doing that.
Wasn't it? Wait.
Yeah. Mike Tramp's literally doing that Roth thing in the video with the hair.
Yeah.
And Vito was very much the Eddie Van. I mean, there is a, you know, they could
There's a correlation.
There's a correlation.
Yeah.
And it says here that before he formed the legendary White Lion with the legendary Mike Tramp, that he could've, would've, perhaps should've joined Ozzy Osbourne.
Oh, no way. And he could have played on Shot in the Dark.
If he'd have been...
One step away from you. Maybe Ozzy would have sung, wait, you gotta wait.
Fucking wait.
Yeah.
Wait. What, that one.
Authored, written by Bob Daisley and Ozzy Osbourne.
So Mike Tramp and White Lion, especially Mike Tramp, used to be big friends with a photographer.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they used to be big friends with Dante, because I remember Dante phoning me up going, would you like to come and see White Lion at the Marquee? We're all going. And I did.
The voice is more like that.
Yeah, you know, like Michael Caine.
A little bit like a Michael Caine, but not quite as pronounced. And also he would sort of drop off.
Yeah, he did. Would you like to come and see White Lion?
Do you know why? Because Dante used to have a lion's mane of hair. And he would be twirling it while
he was talking.
Would you imagine someone's
But also, back in the day, when you were putting together a Kerrang list, you had to phone about 30 people. Would you like to come and see White Lion? Oh, okay. Would you like to come and see White Lion? This is the old days when you dialed a phone. You didn't have like everyone on a speed date. You have to go, 0161. Yeah.
Well, we might have buttons, but probably not. But so, White Lion, the usual story, big for one album. Next album, not so much.
Yeah.
Next thing, they're gone.
They're gone, baby.
They're gone, baby.
They've gone back to wherever it was. Norway, was it? Or Sweden, Mike Tramp was from?
I can't remember.
Don't
but...
look at me like that. You know he was.
Fucking no. He stayed in LA.
You were going to say.
And he formed Fight.
Well, you were going to say Ross Halfin. Oh.
Yes. So, you know, Ross hates everybody.
Yeah. Except for Jimmy Page.
But very occasionally, there'll be one rock star he really likes. So, Jimmy Page, yeah. I don't know if he likes him or not, really. He just likes, you know,
they're frenemies.
Yeah. Best frenemies.
Best frenemies, yeah.
But one of the ones he absolutely adored was Mike Tramp.
Right.
You know? And we were having dinner at the Sunset Marquee.
Yeah.
And Mike Tramp wanted to order a really expensive bottle of wine. And I'm like, yeah, let him. And Ross is like, oh, don't be stupid. That's like $200 a bottle. And Mike, trying not to be an arsehole, but he's like, well, Ross, hey, you know, I can afford it at this point. Oh, fucking hell, what? So you can afford it. It's like, Ross, shut up.
Just drink the lovely...
fucking wine.
Drink the lovely wine.
I'm like, Mike, get a couple bottles.
I'll take one back with me, yeah. A couple, maybe.
One for Ron.
Yeah.
So, a few drinks, and that's when you start asking the stuff you really want to know.
Yeah.
And I said to him, so what's going on with Vito? Why aren't you guys out there... Because this is before... slightly before grunge, and he goes, oh, Vito, he goes, I don't even know where to begin. And Ross goes to me, he goes, listen, here's the deal with Vito, right? He's got nothing going on. Ask him a question, he don't know. You know why? He's got nothing going on. I was like, oh, so Vito's got nothing going on.
Yeah.
He goes, thick as shit. I was like, bit much, Ross.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a brainiac to play the guitar.
You just got to be able to play the guitar.
And Mike's kind of going, well, no, he's pretty, you know, he's a good guy, you know. Thick as shit. Just, all right, Ross. Shut up now.
Yeah. That's a lovely story.
I wanted to share with you.
It's a lovely story from back in the day.
But it also says that Vito coulda, woulda, shoulda joined Kiss.
I would love Kiss to get a guitarist like that. It'd be hilarious.
I wonder what makeup he'd wear.
Yeah, and I wonder, but it would just be funny, wouldn't it, to have them to have a sort of Eddie Van Halen style guitarist
who's got nothing going on,
yeah. overshadowing Gene Paul.
Ooh, what would happen? I don't know there? If that's possible.
Because well, I'll tell you how we should close the show.
Oh, we're closing it now, are we?
Well, I don't know. What's the time? I think they've had enough.
No, I don't think so. Can I think they've had a couple more enough. Items yet. Go on.
Well, because there is an item concerning Mr. Paul Stanley.
Which we're going to segue very into, smoothly
yeah.
into.
Yeah.
So I don't think Vito Nothing Going On
yeah.
would overshadow Gene and Paul.
What, you don't think if, you know...
No, I don't. He's got the fly swatter yeah. and he's doing that tapping thing that...
Guitar tapping. That Jakey Lee was good at. It's a shot in the dark. One step away from you. Amazing.
That's
yeah.
right. That's the sound of the 80s, my
yeah,
friend,
was,
for you.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So segueing seamlessly... into Paul Stanley. You sent me a lovely video.
Oh, it was charming.
One of my favourites.
It was on Twitter, yeah.
Of course it was.
It was Paul giving a performance of Led Zeppelin. You know, it's obviously...
A famous Led Zeppelin? It's one we would know?
I'm not quite sure what one it was, having played the clip.
It's the one that goes... yeah.
Oh, that's right, yeah. No, it was, yeah. You could hear that bit, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't recognise yeah. that,
well, I didn't recognise the vocals, yeah.
The vocals.
I know.
Was it a comic relief or
no,
something?
No, it was someone's birthday party and he just got up and did a whole lot of love.
And you can find it's this online?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's like a 30-second clip.
You know, you get those mashups between Sabbath and Zeppelin.
Yeah.
So it'll be...
Yeah.
I wonder if it was a mashup between...
No, between...
Kiss doing a terrible version of Whole Lotta Love and an untrained guy who can't sing.
Yeah. Who looks
mashed in there.
Who looks and sounds exactly like Paul Stanley.
Well, if you put on the clothes and the syrup, I mean, yeah, what else is there?
Well, yeah, he didn't have the makeup on, so you should Google the clip now. Google it, because the readers will want to hear it, won't they?
The readers will want to hear it. Okay, well, fill in.
Just Google Paul Stanley, Whole Lot of Love.
Yes, that's actually what I was going to do, John. Yeah. I don't know where you came up with that brilliant idea, but
all of a sudden, he's a computer genius who instantly finds any information. It's at his fingertips.
You name it, mate. I'm there. Right, ready? Here we go. Oh my god. He doesn't even know the fucking words.
Amazing.
He just goes, that was unrehearsed.
Yeah.
Really?
No shit, yeah. Oh, he's starting again.
Someone, you see, whoever posted this has put these two big words across it going, holy shit.
It's like, with, you know, Paul Stanley, he wasn't, you might have thought maybe he's in the toilet at this stage, but no,
he's
in front of
on stage. Into a microphone.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know the words.
No, but
if you don't know the words, you could make them up.
Yeah, you could actually sing them.
You need help in cross the road. Yeah, what's he singing?
But I mean, when you're old, you know, your theory, should we call it a theory, that backing tracks are fairly prominent in the world of rock these days?
That's not a theory, my friend.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
not
if
a
you
theory.
Go and see Kiss, does Paul Stanley sound like that?
No. You know, he makes Axl Rose sound good
wow.
in that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right, for those who may have missed it, just...
It almost goes into Park Life there. Oh, what is that? What is that?
Oh, they've written... Holy Mother of God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thanks stuff for, of dreams.
Because yeah. you're at a party and you, you know, you're just having a drink and a chat. There's probably a mixture of ages there. There's all young kids, you know, young
culturally
rapper,
diverse,
young rappers and stuff there. You know,
hip hop,
yeah,
gurus,
all those kind of people are there.
Fashion influenced
models.
People. It's models.
Yeah, it's like a birthday party. You know.
It's a party.
There's some old guys suddenly get up on stage with their guitars.
And a wig.
Yeah.
And you're going,
who's there? Oh, that's livened the party up. Some bloke doing that.
Hang on. Just suddenly thought, Park Life. You're obsessed with
I'm
Blur,
not.
Aren't you?
Play it again.
You're fucking
there's a bit
obsessed.
Where
you say.
He's going, he is play it again.
You said
you can't hear these things, but I'm telling you
I can't hear them
today. You have heard a bit of Bruce Forsyth and a bit of Park Life.
This is the guy who said the new Guns N' Roses single perhaps was a rip-off of Country Life by Blur. You said
Country
that.
House Country,
oh, yeah, Country
Life is butter.
Oh, fuck you. Country House, that's, you know what I mean?
Lives in an house. Because it had that. dun, dun, dun. Let's not start this again.
To see you nice. Oh, that's the other one, isn't it?
Park Life.
Park Life. Jesus Christ almighty.
I mean, at what point...
We should be locked up.
At what point in that...
Oh, there's more. I'll leave that.
You know, at what point in that do you think Paul Stanley started to think, oh, fuck. Yeah.
And in this day... And it's on a... It's like on a FaceTime thing. It's not like a regular YouTube video. Someone's obviously been holding up a phone.
Yeah.
Paul, think. Think, man.
Yeah. Come to us for
direction,
advice,
life advice, musical direction.
I mean,
drug
addiction. For example, if you've just written a good song, and a minor member of your band has gone off to join Ozzy Osbourne, give us a ring. We'll tell you what might happen.
Yeah, and how to deal with it.
And how to deal with it exactly
successfully.
You know, because obviously you've had lots of money out of Sharon Osbourne.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you've never ever moaned about her not paying you.
Well, let's just say that's a very
let's
large
just, oh, let's draw
club.
A discreet veil over that.
Yes, that's that. You see, that's, you know, that's actionable, John. Yeah. I could sue you for falseness. Falsosity.
Wow.
Falsosity.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And on that bombshell,
on that note,
we bring another coherent,
another shattering. The world of rock is now. You won't listen to "Shot in the Dark" again and think, "Oh, that's a great song."
And you'll never listen to "Whole Lot of Love" again and think, "That's a great song."
Or listen to Paul Stanley.
There you go.
Thank you.
There you go. Right, and oh, I've got to find the button now. Hang on, I'm good at this. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How do I stop this, Fern?